What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. It is Super Bowl week, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs versus Tom Brady and the Bucks. Adam Tyser, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN, will be with us at 7:25 a.m. this morning. Ariel Epstein of The Morning After will talk props with us at 8:40 this morning. Kevin, good morning to you. How are you doing today on this Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited. Again, the countdown to the big one that continues. We are getting closer and closer. We've also got some NBA that we're going to, you know, squeeze in here. And also, the one thing that's been really fun, and I know we're focused on the Super Bowl, but when the Super Bowl ends, it doesn't look like we will have a shortage of NFL headlines. These quarterback rumors on a daily basis continue to heat up. Yep. Plenty of stuff to get to here on a Wednesday.
So many things to get to today, but let's start off with some light stories before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Super Bowl. Lots of people think that the Bucks are going to have the advantage because they're at their home field. Makes sense, and of course that's to a point, but yesterday the Bucks announced that there will be no cannon fire from the pirate ship at Raymond James Stadium. Do you think this is going to affect the line, Kevin?
Well, I probably should. So, interestingly enough, the first time I ever attended an NFL stadium, right, for a football game, of course, was actually where the Bucks play. I have family down in Tampa Bay, not at the Meadowlands
That's
yet,
so
down in Tampa Bay. And, you know, so we hit all the big sports, went to a Rays game, which was cool. But the Bucks game, the big cannon, the big pirate ship, I was in awe. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I wonder sometimes how I didn't become a Bucks fan. Like, you know how people have those, oh, I went to a Bucks game when I was seven. But no, I was like, go Birds, listen, Eagles still the way to roll. So I'm pleased with that decision. But I think the cannons are sweet. I like that they play into the whole Bucks gimmick. But no cannons, not as fun, but you understand it.
Totally understandable. But let's talk about five ways this game may be different. So, of course, we're going to have fewer fans. The NFL will mix 30,000 cutouts with 25,000 fans. So more cutouts than actual fans. Vaccinated first responders will be in attendance for that. It's just interesting to think that we're in a situation with the Super Bowl, COVID-19, and there's more cutouts than fans.
I mean, at the Super Bowl. Like, think about if someone said, hey, guess what? Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes
this time
are playing
last year,
one another.
I know.
In the Super Bowl, and it won't sell out. What do you mean it won't sell out? I mean, maybe it technically did sell out for what was available, but it's not going to be a packed stadium. It is odd. Sometimes I wonder if I drop the ball not having a Kevin Walsh cutout somewhere in Yankee Stadium or something like that. Probably should have been sending out KW cutouts
throughout
the country.
I think it would freak me out a little bit. I think it'd be really weird to see yourself in the stands and you're sitting on the couch.
I'd sit there with my cutout on the couch when they send it back to me. We'd watch some games together.
Another thing that's going to be different is parties are not going to be the same. So people love to throw their Super Bowl parties. If we weren't in COVID, what would you be doing for the Super Bowl? I know I would definitely be going to a party or one of the fun bars in Philly to celebrate. Of course, if it was the Eagles, I would try to be doing anything related to that. But we have a while before that happens.
Yeah, well, listen, for me, I'll be doing the same thing that I did last year, actually, and I'll be rocking on In-Game Live right here on the Sports Grid, part of the network's live coverage of the Super Bowl. So I'm actually really, really excited for that. We'll have some wings and whatnot beforehand.
Yeah, and welcome in our radio audience here on Sirius XM Channel 204. You're listening to The Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We're talking about the ways that the Super Bowl is going to be different this year. Another one, Kevin. Big names will not be in the Super Bowl ads, including Budweiser, Coke, Pepsi, Hyundai. I know that everyone loves to watch the commercials, and given that a lot of people are going to be sitting on the couch, this might be a fun year to pay attention to some of those.
Wait a minute, why in the world is, what's Budweiser doing? What are they, too good for
I'm
the
not
COVID?
Sure. Usually they're the dog.
Yeah, they
I guess
the dog,
so. I think
the
that
horse.
They'd spend more because everyone's home.
What are they doing?
Oh, was the horse last year? Am I skipping over the horse?
Well, the horse, I don't know. I feel like the horses all the time. I feel like the dog, sure. They got a whole bunch of different animals that they'll bring.
Oh, they're the dog and the horse. They're the dog and the horse.
I don't know. Usually they got one funny one. They'll have like a tearjerker in there. I was expecting Budweiser to, you know, some like real American commercial. Everybody's crying, patriotism, drinking Bud Lights. They're loving it. They're running through the wall. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. That's unacceptable. Now, I'll change my tune. I don't know. Maybe Budweiser wants to hit our line, sponsor the early line. That changes the equation. Therefore, listen, they're busy, guys. Lay off. But until that moment, I'm quite confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too. It's so funny. I was trying to find all these interesting articles and just fun stats, and that was one that I came across. Another one is zero media crush. So this is crazy that Tom Brady came out and said this. I'm sitting here in an empty room. This is very different than the other 9 experiences I've had. I felt after reading this that this was the biggest flex of all time and low-key jab a little bit that this is different than my 9 experiences.
It is so crazy that he has like such a real sample size. Like, it's so wild the amount of like playoff games that he has played. Obviously the amount of Super Bowls is just a whole nother level as well. I do wonder if, because you know how players, oh, the media, they do this, they do that. But I think some of them have been like, I think I miss you guys a little bit. I don't think it's not as fun without that interaction. And I'm sure Tom is a little annoyed that he doesn't get to shake some of those hands that he's used to shaking and, you know, hearing about, oh, what that? It is my 10th Super Bowl. Thanks for bringing that up.
I know. And the one last funny thing is the halftime show. You won't have people running out like crazy chickens onto the field. Stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming back, we're going to be talking more about the Super Bowl.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Good morning, everyone. It is Super Bowl week. I want to note first some injuries that are on the Chiefs' side. Left tackle Eric Fisher, who tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship game, will be out. Sammy Watkins has the chance to return for the first time since Week 16, so keep that in mind. Super Bowl 55 also had its first COVID issues. Chiefs placed Daniel Kilgore and DeMarcus Robinson on the COVID-19 list due to close contact. Now, another COVID-related situation is that the Chiefs are going to fly in the day before the game. Here's what Andy Reid had to say about managing COVID.
Well, they're healthier, number one, and two, they're more familiar with, from Steve's standpoint, they're more familiar with Tom. The receivers are, the offensive line, everybody. I mean, they're peaking there at the right time and playing good football.
And Kevin, it's interesting to hear him say they're peaking at the right time. I know Tom Brady came out and said that was really important for his team in a press conference earlier this week, that the team has to peak at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the Bucs enter this winners of 7 straight games dating back to the regular season. The last time they lost was against these Kansas City Chiefs, so it's impressive the run that Tampa's been on. That 4 games that closed out the regular season wasn't against great competition. Vikings twice against the Falcons, and a game against the Detroit Lions on a Saturday in which the Lions had no coaches. But they've now won, you know, 3 road games in the playoffs. Washington football team, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, you know, it got harder and harder as things went out. So, again, a credit to the Tampa Bay Bucs. They are hot. They absolutely are.
Yeah, and another thing that Reed had mentioned is that the receivers are more acquainted with Tom Brady. Do you think just one game is enough to be acquainted with Tom Brady and know some of the play calls he might make? I thought that was interesting that he said that.
I think what's really interesting is the fact that, you know, again, Brady being a part of the New England Patriots for so long and the different people that he's built up a rapport with. Julian Edelman was his guy, right, for so many years. Mm-hmm. But also, Tom knows talent, right? It's not like it took him forever and to figure things out when it came to Randy Moss. And there's a lot of talent in that this wide receiver room. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. It doesn't look like Antonio Brown is going to be available for this game, but we'll see as the week continues. And he also has some guys that he trusts. You know, in Rob Gronkowski out there on the field. Yeah. And he's built up a rapport now more and more with a Leonard Fournette or a Scotty Miller, whomever it might be. So I think it's one of those things you would think it would only get better as the season would go along, and that certainly does seem to be the case.
Yeah, and I mean, given how they played in the playoffs, it does seem like they're peaking at the right time, which is most important. I was looking for some interesting stats yesterday, and one that I came across is Tom Brady has 4 Super Bowl MVPs, which is the all-time record. We know this. But Tom Brady doesn't really like the first quarter when playing in the Super Bowl. Brady has not led one touchdown drive in 9 Super Bowl opening quarters. That seems impossible to believe, but it's true. Here are the first quarter scores of each of Brady's 9 Super Bowls on the board right here. Kevin, this is pretty crazy that I stumbled upon this, and I think that maybe for the props market, this is something to take advantage of.
Yeah, well, listen, the first quarter, the spread is available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, you got the Chiefs there laying a half at +104. So basically, if the Kansas City Chiefs score a touchdown, job done, based on the tenure of Tom Brady. And, you know, it's interesting to say, is a 9-game sample size enough? I would say in football it is. But also, every year is different. Why is it that Brady gets off to such a slow start in the Super Bowl? Hard to say. I will say, they got off to a slow start against the New Orleans Saints, but they got off to a fast start against the Green Bay Packers. It can all be situational. Yeah. But if that team gets off to a slow start against the Kansas City Chiefs, they very well could be in for a very, very long game.
And like you said, it's very situational. I mean, Tom Brady having his 9 Super Bowl appearances already, that's a small it's a big sample size for a quarterback. But then again, it is the same time kind of a small sample size given its 9 games. Let's go back to week 12, the last time these teams met. The Chiefs got the win there. Andy Reid had this to say about what has changed since their week 12 meeting.
The guys have worked their tail off. We tried to get everything in last week. And so when we had the different media obligations that we had to do this week, that we'd be able to go back and review. So it's been good. We worked today and had a good practice today. And we'll keep grinding this week.
I want to say thanks to SiriusXM NFL Radio for that clip. Kevin, interesting things of how they're just going to grind it out this week. That's expected. Again, they're going to fly in the day before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the Chiefs, the fact that they were there last year, right, and they would be able to come into this Super Bowl, you know, saying, oh, we've experienced and, you know, we understand how this thing goes, is would have been a nice benefit for them. But that advantage, I guess, is no longer there. But that's why I always reference this week 12 meeting. You know, this is not a regular occurrence that the Super Bowl is a regular season rematch. If you think about it, right, kind of a 1-in-4 chance for that specific team. You know, AFC team only plays 4 NFC teams and vice versa, right? So, and obviously the chances of that it's greater than 1-in-4 throughout the league, but just looking at who's going to be there from one side of things. And I do think that it's nice for the Kansas City Chiefs because maybe, Aaron, they lose that advantage of having, you know, gone through the rigmarole of the Super Bowl last year, but they've made a trip to Tampa Bay this year. So it's, They should remember how week 12 looked for them in terms of travel and set up and get ready to go. And it's really just another bye week for them.
Yeah. And I would argue that there's no distractions for the Chiefs, whereas when you have the normal Super Bowl, there's media day, there's hoopla everywhere. It's loud, it's distracting. They're not going to worry about that. They're going to fly in the day before as if it's a regular game, and that might make them more calm going into the game, whereas the Bucs have to make sure that they don't have as many distractions. And Tom Brady came out earlier this week in a press conference saying that he doesn't want the team to get distracted. He himself is not going to be distracted because he's going to be alone for 2 weeks straight. He wants zero distractions, even against seeing his family. So that's one other side to kind of look at it. But it's going to be interesting that the Chiefs are wearing their away uniforms, or sorry, the Chiefs are wearing their home uniforms, and the Bucks are going to wear their away uniforms, which is a little bit of a superstitious thing, I'd say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the Brady stuff is fascinating because you think about just comfortability. Could anybody be more comfortable than Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, right? I mean, again, he's been there forever. But how many people on this roster have played in a spot like this? I mean, Gronk's really the only one that comes to mind. I'm sure somewhere Antonio Brown, I believe, has played in a Super Bowl as well. But again, he might not be available. So realistically, he is going to have to lead the charge. And he always was going to have to lead the charge. Mm-hmm. But you have a Chiefs team that was just there last year. So for your Mike Evans, who had a hilarious quote or kind of moment, if you will, when they won the NFC Championship, he was starting to walk off the field, head back to the locker room. One of the PR guys comes up to me and goes, "Hey, the ceremony's this way." He's like, "What ceremony?" I'm like, "A ceremony." He goes, "Oh, I don't know. I've never been here before. Sorry." So, like, it's a new experience for so many of these Buccaneers and the Chiefs. Again, they're just running it back.
Yeah, and running it back they are. I know that they want to be a three-peat given if they do win this season, but I want to talk about the odds to win the MVP. That's a big market that everyone wants to bet on in terms of props. Now, to win the Super Bowl, Jason Pierre-Paul is plus 8,000 right now. His odds keep moving up. Bruce Arians had this to say about the defensive lineman.
You know, he had two interceptions this year, which is unbelievable for him to even catch a ball, but for him to drop into coverage and then read a screen and pick it off, he has been playing. And he deserves his Pro Bowl, but we have some others I think should have been in, but he definitely deserves his Pro Bowl.
I'd like to thank SiriusXM NFL Radio for that clip. Kevin, what do you think about Jason Pierre-Paul and his odds on the MVP?
Yeah, look, JPP has been great for this football team all year long. Had multiple sacks against the Packers, another one against Washington. If he can get home, it could be a tough day for Patrick Mahomes.
All right, guys, stay with us here on The Early Line. We'll be right back after this break to talk more Super Bowl.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody. You are watching and listening to The Early Line right here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Kevin Walsh, and I have the absolute honor of being joined right now by Adam Teicher, who works for ESPN, covering the defending Super Bowl champions. We're going to see if they can repeat the Kansas City Chiefs. Adam, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're excited. Super Bowl week, the clock, the countdown continues. We're getting pumped for it. I think it's got to be interesting for you, having covered this team's trip to the Super Bowl last year, and obviously the vibe is a little bit different, just kind of the setting, the scenario. Can you talk a little bit about how the team is handling the differences, showing up, you know, the day before, and even that recent COVID scare that we had with Kilgore and Robinson?
Yeah, it's definitely a different deal than last year, for sure, for the Chiefs. It's like a regular season game, road game for them, really. They're going in the day before. They're coming home right after the game. That's how they travel during the regular season. So, absolutely, it's like that. Now, I know this one will be a little different than the ones the rest of the year. They're playing on Tampa's home field, and there's going to be some fans in there. So this won't be maybe a typical road game for the Chiefs, or at least a 2020-type road game. But I tell you what, the Chiefs, one thing they've been so good at under Andy Reid is playing on the road. I can make you a strong case that since he's been with the Chiefs, they've been a better road team than they have a home team. This year, the record was better at home. They were on the road. They were 8-0 on the road. road, 6-2 at home. And they had a lot of their tough games on the road as well. They played in Buffalo and in Baltimore and in New Orleans and Tampa. They won all those games. So they had a much tougher schedule on the road and still came out undefeated at 6-2 at home. So the one thing the Chiefs don't need to fear under Andy Reid is going on the road.
No, it's a great point. I think it's so odd that that point, though, matters in the Super Bowl, right? For the first time ever, a team playing the Super Bowl on their home field. I wonder, though, how much that advantage, if it even exists during these COVID times for Tampa Bay, is mitigated by the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs have also played on that field this year.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And I'm wondering about the limited ticket distribution. I know the Chiefs fans are working hard to get every ticket they can find. So I'm wondering whether there might be as many Chiefs fans once the game starts in that stadium as Bucks fans. I guess we won't know until game time, but I know the Chiefs will be represented pretty well. I know that much.
Yeah, I'm sure that is true. You know, when we get into the meat and potatoes of this game, the keys to the game, I am sure that every single Tampa Bay Bucks meeting ends with, by the way, watch number 10. I mean, Tyreek Hill lit this team up, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns. It felt like he ended the game in the first quarter. How do you think the Chiefs are preparing for these adjustments that Tampa Bay will surely make in doing everything they can to limit what Hill did to them back then in Week 12?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, they won't let Tyreek Hill probably have 169 yards, much less 269. So the Bucs will make some adjustments there, and Hill won't have as big a game as he did last time around. But the question I always ask when it comes to the Chiefs and these types of things is, at what cost for the Bucs? You know, the Chiefs have so much going for them. You know, Travis Kelce, I feel like when he's on a roll, the Chiefs are almost impossible to beat. So there's that. They have some good complementary receivers. There's a set of running backs in Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams who are very capable. And then, of course, there's Patrick Mahomes making it all work. So the Chiefs are very difficult to pin down, and it's relatively easy to say, okay, we're going to take Tyreek Hill out of this game, but at what cost? What else are the Bucks going to give to the Chiefs that they'll be able to take advantage of? So we'll see how what coverages the Bucks come out with and what things they have in store. But the Chiefs are almost always able to come up with something to counter that and make things work.
If there is a point of concern for Kansas City, it does seem like it would be the health of the offensive line. Yeah. Losing Fisher in the conference title game was certainly not ideal. How do you think the team feels right now about the five men that are going to be responsible for stopping what is a loaded front for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, for sure. And you look at the Chiefs' offensive line as it's going to be in this game, and you could almost say, well, that's a backup offensive line. And the reason I say that is the Chiefs had two guys opt out from a group who would be playing for them right now. They had two guys opt out before training camp even started. One starter, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and one draft pick who would be playing right now had he not opted out, Lucas Niang. And then since the start of the season, they've lost three starting offensive linemen, both tackles, and a starting guard. So the Chiefs are really down. They've got one guy from the original offensive line, their starting center, Austin Ryder. Other than that, the Chiefs have had to dig deep into their depth chart. So that is a concern. There's no doubt about it. And that's one of the X and O things. I'm wondering how the Chiefs are going to cover for this, what kinds of things they're going to do to help their tackles. Their new left tackle, Mike Remmers, had a nice season for them. He had quietly maybe their offensive line MVP this year. But their right tackle, Andrew Wiley, played guard most of the season. So he's going to be kicking out to this new position. We'll see how he handles it. But no doubt how the Chiefs combat Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be one of the keys to the game, no doubt.
Joined here on the early line by ESPN reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs, Adam Teicher, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. And Adam, I also wanted to ask you a little bit about Eric Bieniemy. You know, he was always going to be coaching this team this year, But I would have thought this guy eventually would have been scooped up. I don't know if it's working against him that he's coaching too deep into the playoffs. It sounds ridiculous, but the NFL's hiring process is ridiculous. What kind of vibe do you get from this organization as a whole? It feels like it's this odd catch-22. I'm sure they're happy to see the guy there, but I think they're also all rooting for him to get that head coaching position it feels like he deserves.
Yeah, it is sort of a weird dynamic in that regard, and it is a little bit awkward, but it's the way it is. And, you know, he had six interviews this year with six different teams, and, you know, that's on top of, I lost count, six or seven over the last 2 years. Almost half the league has interviewed Eric Bieniemy now, and he still hasn't had a job. So you wonder what if it's ever going to happen for him. You know, maybe next year is the year. We'll have to see. But I don't know what more he could put on his resume that he doesn't have right now. I mean, if it's that he's not a play caller, well, teams know about that. Know that about Eric Bieniemy going into this. And if that's an issue, then why are you bothering to interview him in the first place? And, you know, you hear that he doesn't interview very well. I have a hard time believing that. Eric Bieniemy, one of his strengths is as a communicator. There's no doubt players say they always know where they stand with Eric Bieniemy. So I don't feel like he would not interview well. So it's just one of those things that, you just really, really can't explain. And maybe next year will be his year.
Yeah, and it's tough because you know there is a little bit of a hypocritical nature when you consider Doug Peterson got hired from the same system. Matt Nagy got hired from the same system. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year in his first year. Even if those guys' tenure maybe has not continued to go the way that those guys wanted, yeah, I agree with you. You would have thought at some point Eric Bieniemy would have had the job. But let's the main event of the Super Bowl. At the end of the day, it's Mahomes versus Brady. Even if they're not technically playing directly against one another, but this is what happens when two quarterbacks of this level play one another. And one of those, you know, sneaky narratives is this revenge possibly on the mind for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the only playoff game he lost was against Tom Brady. And we all know Mahomes didn't get the football. I'm pretty sure that coin lands the other way. There's a chance we're talking about Mahomes going to his third consecutive Super Bowl. How motivated is Patrick Mahomes for this rematch on the highest stage imaginable against Tom Brady?
Oh, there's no doubt. And, you know, he's talked about how Brady was sort of a guy he's watched basically from the time he can remember starting to watch football. He's watched Tom Brady. And I think Brady maybe had something to do with wanting to be like him, had something to do with the reason he went into football as opposed to another sport. So, yeah, he'll be very fired up. Hey, the Chiefs realize, and he realizes, and Brady's not necessarily a part of this, but the Chiefs have a real opportunity to here to do something that not a lot of teams have do, you know, repeat back to back. And so that's a motivating thing as well, Tom Brady or no. But, you look at all the great quarterback matchups that have been in the Super Bowl over the years. Maybe this is the best one, though, right? I mean, a guy who's won it six times against maybe a guy who, if things break right, can maybe someday catch him. Just what a great matchup, and it is one of the plots of this Super Bowl that I'm looking forward to, no doubt.
And Adam, we'll probably get you out here on this thought. You mentioned the possibility that Mahomes could catch him, and a lot of times people are like, let's pump the brakes. But this is different, right? A lot of people have Tom Brady has now won as many NFC Conference championships as Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, and that's incredible. It's incredible. But also, Aaron Rodgers only been to one Super Bowl. Drew Brees only been to one Super Bowl. This guy Mahomes is already in his second Super Bowl in about the 30-some-odd seconds we have left here. Can you just explain, what sets this guy apart from everybody else playing the position?
In 30 seconds, I don't know that I can do it. He's just different. He just gets it. You know, maybe growing up in a sports locker room with a dad who was a Major League Baseball player, he just was around ball players and just knows how it's supposed to be. But I could tell you stories about how he handled himself different from the moment he walked in, even as a rookie, that would really kind of explain some things.
What a great interview with Adam Teicher. Happy to have him join the early line. Adam, again, ESPN reporter of the Chiefs, Guys, it is the Super Bowl week. We are just 5 days away. We're getting ramped up here on the Super Bowl, talking it all on the early line. We're going to be talking lines, props, injury reports, breaking news, so much more. We're having Ariel Epstein join us later in the show to talk all things props. Next, we're going to talk about some more QB question marks. Plus, we'll hear what Bruce Arians has to say about what makes Patrick Mahomes so good.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Thanks so much for joining us. It is Super Bowl week. We want to kick it off with what Bruce Arians had to say about what makes Patrick Mahomes so good.
It's one thing when he's out of the pocket and where he can throw it from all the angles, but in the pocket, you can beat your guy clean. He's just going to keep backpedaling and throw the ball. It's hard to get to him because that ability that he has with that arm, no one else can, and that's what makes him so special.
I want to thank SiriusXM NFL Radio for that clip. Kevin, what about Patrick Mahomes' arms? He makes a great point. No one can really stop him. Do you think that the Bucs are going to be able to?
Not really, because there isn't really an answer. He can do everything.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I thought it was a really interesting point there from Bruce Arians when he says you can beat your man clean. He's talking about, you know, we just talked about Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul can go out there, be a nuisance in the backfield, but Mahomes just keeps going back and back and back. And you're like, this guy's 15, you know, yards behind the line of scrimmage. Oh, no problem. Just throws an absolute dime, and they, you know, pick up a fresh set of downs. And even when we spoke to Adam Teicher, it was kind of the final question I got to ask him. I'm like, hey, listen, Adam, about 30 seconds here, you know, what makes Mahomes so good? He goes, oh, 30 seconds is simply not enough. You're run out of ways to say, you know, how to stop this guy. And I thought one of the more interesting numbers, we talked, Erin, about the themes of the Super Bowl a little bit, right, in yesterday, and how Todd Bowles is going to try and attack Patrick Mahomes, what kind of looks he's going to give Patrick Mahomes, and that two deep safety look that you're going to hear people talking about as, oh, well, that's what they need to do to, you know, mitigate the impact of Tyreek Hill. Guys, they did that. They did that in week 12. It's not like Todd Bowles, you know, went into that game and went, oh boy, I never realized that 10 was such an issue. They know it's that Mahomes has the ability to break down that coverage. Yep. He completed over 80% of his passes when seeing too deep coverage. Threw for 216 yards on 23 of 28 passing against too deep coverage in that game. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world, and Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Bucs have a lot on their hands come Sunday.
I might have to do this segment, Make Your Case, with why you say Patrick Mahomes is the best in the world right now. Yeah. If Brady beats him, I'm going to make you do that just on a Monday morning. But anyways, with Patrick Mahomes having such a big contract, it seems like he's going to dominate the AFC West for a while. But yesterday, some news broke that the AFC West quarterback, Derek Carr, may now be being pursued by multiple teams. So Colts, Bears, Patriots, Washington football team, they potentially could have some interest, as well as the Saints. There's so many quarterback question marks. We've been talking about it all week. We're going to be talking about this for the next couple of months, guys. Nothing is going to be done overnight. But I just want to ask you, who is in the race, Kevin, that you see potentially being a good fit for Derek Carr?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I think Derek Carr really changed his perception a lot throughout this season. He was probably a top 10 quarterback during this year. You look at his QBR passer rating and just overall numbers. Yep. It was a really nice season for Derek Carr. And I know Darren Waller was a big piece of that, but I mean, as Eagles fans, we know the fact that he was using Nelson Aguilar as pretty much a number one wide receiver. Derek Carr gets all the credit and praise for me because Nelson Aguilar is terrible. So I think that's impressive enough, and it's certainly makes some sense that teams are going to be, you know, ringing the phone here, trying to see what they can do, because Matthew Stafford came off the block pretty quickly. And you listed some of those teams that was mentioned in the article. Again, credit to Vincent Bonsignori of Vegas Nation, who reports there at the Review Journal, who kind of broke this story. And he listed off some of those teams that could be available, mentioning the Colts or the Bears, the Washington football team, the Patriots certainly need to address the quarterback position.
So many question marks.
I think the Indianapolis Colts certainly jump out, because I know everyone's like, oh, they'll just take an old guy because that's what they did with Phillip Rivers. But you know, Derek Carr is only 30. And if he could come in and be the, you know, the guy for the Indianapolis Colts, not just this coming season, but for the coming years, that would be great for the Colts.
And I feel like with all these QB question marks, we keep hearing every quarterback somehow be tied back to the Colts. It'll be so interesting to see who actually goes there. Now, this week, there was a blockbuster trade that was announced. Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions is heading to the Rams in exchange for Jared Goff, two future first-round picks, and a third-round pick. Would you give more up for Carr than Stafford?
That's a great question, and I think it's a question that a lot of these teams around the league are going to have to ask themselves here. I'm sure they're going to see if they can, you know, sneak one by Vegas and get Derek Carr for less. But really, I mean, it's hard to make an argument that Derek Carr shouldn't be going for, at the minimum, the exact same, maybe more. Derek Carr, really, by any metric you take a look at, was better than Matthew Stafford this year. The cap numbers are virtually the same on those two quarterbacks, and Derek Carr is younger. So just as good, if not better. Same exact money and younger. I mean, that's box check after check in the favor of Derek Carr, which means that the Vegas Raiders have the ability to ask for what seemingly would be at least two first-round picks when it comes to possible trade scenarios with Derek Carr.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I brought up the AFC West at the beginning of this because there could be a grander plan here that he could be traded for Deshaun Watson. That's one of the rumors. Do you think if Deshaun Watson did go to the Raiders, it would shake up the AFC West?
So, of course, it would shake things up. This is where things are so fascinating, right? And this is why, you know, I always use this phrase, quarterback carousel, where one person moves, the next person has to go here, there's an opening there, there's a shut door there. It's so fascinating that this is tied to Deshaun Watson. And I think that's one of the big question marks here for, you know, this discussion. Do the Vegas Raiders only move Derek Carr if it means they are getting Deshaun Watson? Or can this team be overwhelmed enough by an offer by a Washington football team, by a New England Patriots, that they say, that's too good to pass up on. We're going to move Derek Carr. Maybe we get Watson. Maybe we draft a guy. Maybe we sign, I don't know, Jameis Winston. But we'll move Derek Carr, even if it doesn't guarantee us Deshaun Watson. Because I think that's the first question to ask, Aaron. Like, if you're Vegas, should you be giving up on Derek Carr?
Well, that's, you made a great point. I don't believe they should be giving up on Derek Carr. Deshaun Watson, in my eyes, is a better quarterback and for the future would be for them. But you made a great point with Derek Carr throwing to Nelson Agholor as their top wide receiver. I'm not sure Deshaun Watson would even want to go there. And I know with his whole situation, he kind of has a say in where he would go a little bit. So I don't really know if that trade makes sense. Obviously, this is a rumor. For a reason, it could potentially happen down the road, but I just don't really see why they would get rid of Derek Carr. He did play well this season. I feel like I bet on them a lot, and they did beat the Chiefs in that one game, which was very surprising with the AFC West. But I don't really think this trade, out of all the ones we've talked about, makes a whole lot of sense. If they want to trade Derek Carr, I don't know what the plan is for the Raiders of getting rid of Derek Carr. Like, what is your reasoning? Maybe bring in more pieces around Derek Carr, see how he plays with that, as opposed to just trading your quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's a great point you bring up with that no trade clause there. Do we think that Deshaun Watson would want to play for John Gruden? Do we think that Deshaun Watson would want to be possibly second fiddle in that AFC West to a Patrick Mahomes? Does the weaponry that's available for the Vegas Raiders make that an attractive place. Also, though, if you think about it, so they trade Derek Carr. Let's say that nets them two first-round picks, but they also have to attach another two first-round selections of their own. You know, Deshaun Watson comes in, he's better than Derek Carr. Okay, we can all agree on that. But the defense is really where Vegas was let down, firing a defensive coordinator in the middle of the season, really just not having enough pieces there. It's going to be more difficult now to increase the talent on the defensive side of the ball when you're not only losing picks, but you're going to be losing cap space as well by bringing Deshaun Watson into the fold. I know, look, I think as highly of Watson as the next person here, but is it really worth it? Are the Vegas, when you look at the Vegas Raiders, you go, oh, they're a quarterback away. That's not how I would describe Vegas.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I would not describe them as that whatsoever. But what I'm thinking is with Deshaun Watson, does he want to go to a team that is going to build? Let's say they get a couple first-round picks and it's a young team. Does he want to build with someone, or does he want to be placed somewhere where they're going to have a good chance of winning the first time he comes in? You have the Dolphins, who we talked about. You have the Jets. You have the, even the Cowboys, we've talked about with Deshaun Watson rumors going there. So it's really depending on where he wants to go. But the it comes down to that. It sounds like the Texans don't want to trade him, or they're using it as leverage to get the best trade possible for him. I don't think this is going to happen overnight. We're going to be talking trade rumors for a long time. I don't know exactly what Deshaun Watson wants, besides obviously more say in an organization, because that's when things started to spiral.
Right. But so let's kind of emphasize something that you're – what does Deshaun Watson want, right? Typically, you'd say, oh, he wants to go to a contender, a place that he can win immediately. Deshaun Watson plus whomever he joins, that team is a Super Bowl contender. I mean, listen to the way people are talking about the Rams. Some people think the Rams next year should be Super Bowl favorites, if not maybe the second choice on the board when, you know, those odds become available. And I actually think those odds are sneaky available right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. People think the Rams should be rocketing up that list. Deshaun Watson, from the reports, his desired destination is the New York Jets. I won two football games.
Yeah, like, that's confusing about
Watson
this.
Watson wants to go.
Does he want to go where there's a great offense or defense? Like, where do you want to fit in? Because I feel like the Jets organization has been a complete nightmare as well. So why would that be your top destination?
Clearly, Robert Saleh is a big part of that. And I'm sure, you know, he seemingly has a great rapport with the players that he's coached. And, you know, maybe Deshaun Watson's had conversations with a guy like Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman has made the case to him that Saleh's the guy. And ultimately, if you're the New York Jets, that's, you know, Deshaun Watson automatically gives you a good offense and Robert Saleh automatically gives you a good defense. That's your hopes. That's your dreams. That's why we're having this conversation. But there's no guarantee that that's the case, right? A lot of people still think that offensive line needs to improve. That defense certainly needs to get more talent. It's going to be difficult to do that if they meet the asking price for a Deshaun Watson. That's why some wonder if that team should meet the asking price for a Deshaun Watson. But again, to your initial point, that's who Watson's prioritizing? The team that's going to select
doesn't really make a
second?
Lot of sense.
Like, the Dolphins, at least, the Dolphins won double-digit football games, right? And their defense and special teams as well looked really good. Like, the Dolphins plus Watson, yep, that makes sense. I can see where that team makes sense, but the odds keep increasing for that. Right. It doesn't seem like that's
the
desired.
The odds, they dropped back.
And here's the other thing that is worth discussing and wondering. The two choices that we've heard, the Jets and the Dolphins, high up on Deshaun Watson's list. Two of the very, very short list of teams that are head coached by a minority. Is that an important thing for Deshaun Watson? Because if so, then this list is much shorter than anybody would think.
Yeah, we need to know what Deshaun Watson actually wants. It'll be interesting to see if he gets what he wants and if the Texans will actually let him go and part ways there. It definitely will not be mutually, though. All right, guys, stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're talking about the hero of the night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. It is time for the hero of the night. So a Toronto Raptor broke a franchise record last night. The hero of the night is, Fred VanVleet.
What a deserved award. You know, typically when I was kind of thinking about this, I thought it would be a lot, you know, sometimes a backdoor cover, backdoor over, things like that. FVV just overwhelmed on this Tuesday slate playing the Orlando Magic. It was a different vibe. These teams played on Sunday. FVV came out there, 9 first quarter points. I went, oh, wow, he's in for a big one. He finished that game with 9 points. Well, this go around, he got started early, had 5 threes in the first quarter, but he didn't stop there. Breaking a franchise record for the Toronto Raptors with 54 points. The Magic opened this game up on an 11-0 run. An 11-0 run, FVV knocks down his first three and never looked back. Made 10 more throughout the rest of this game. And this is the type of stuff that they paid this guy for. They gave Fred VanVleet a ton of money this offseason to be maybe their best player as Lowry gets older. I know Pascal Siakam sometimes can be hit or miss. This is what they paid FVV for. The Raptors had lost 3 in a row. They've now won 2 in a row, in part due to these contributions from FVV. 54 points, a Raptors record. But I'm sure the honor that he will be happiest to be receiving is a hero of the night from the early line.
Yes, the Raptors beat Orlando back-to-back. He is the hero of the night. I hope you liked my dun-da-da-dun there. We'll be talking all things NBA coming up. But Fred VanVleet, he was also the hero of the night for anybody who took his over for the prop.
Oh, you better believe it. Every single FVV point scoring prop you could imagine worked out there. I will say, Nick Batum had an odd shot at getting hero of the night, but we can talk about that when we get underway with hour number two.
All right, stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk all things NBA last night and tonight.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.